Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live on this Tuesday afternoon. At least that's what it is here in Southern California. Thanks so much for being here with us. We've got 2 hours of open forum for you today, both hours with our good friend and senior apologist, Tim Staples. So perfect opportunity to call and ask whatever you'd like about the Catholic faith, 888-318-7884. And even before I finish giving out that number, I see the phones started ringing. So there are a few lines open, a good time for you to take advantage of that and get in line to ask your question. Whether you're Catholic or not, you're welcome to ask Tim whatever you like, 888-318-7884.
Hey, didn't I tell you, we're supposed to modify that. And they're supposed to only ask questions that I can answer.
Well, that's probably those are overlapping sets, I think, probably.
So if you're going to ask a question I don't know the answer to,
don't ask. It. No, no.
That's
don't.
A joke, people. All
right. 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Tim, the author of Behold Your Mother, as most of you probably know, a biblical and historical defense of the Marian doctrines, but also the author of Nuts and Bolts, a practical how-to guide to evangelism. And also on audio with all kinds of stuff. That's where you're big in the audio.
You're big in the audio. My most popular set is all kinds of stuff.
All kinds of stuff. yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I don't know what the most popular one is, but the catchiest title is certainly Jimmy Swaggart Made Me Catholic.
Yes. Jimmy Swaggart Made Me Catholic. It's funny. My wife keeps telling me we need to redo that because nobody knows who Jimmy Swaggart is anymore, unless you're, you know, over 40 or 45, I guess. You know, yeah. You don't know who he is, but that was Carl Keating's creation.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah,
because
my original conversion story was called The Bible Made Me Do It.
Oh, yeah.
And when I came here to Catholic Answers, 18 years ago,
wow.
Carl said, well, the first thing you got to do is redo your conversion story, and we need a new title. And so he tossed it out there, and you know how we had those brainstorming things. And
right.
He's the one who came up with Jimmy Swaggart Made Me Catholic. And
oh,
it was like,
I never knew that.
Instantaneous. That's it, man.
it's just too good. Yeah. I didn't know that. Carl, was he good at that marketing
he
kind of stuff?
He really was. He came up with so. I have been terrible at titles, although I did do Behold Your Mother. That's the one I wanted.
Yeah,
for the book. But other than that, I don't think I named any of my stuff.
888-318-7884, the number. I'll tell you how many lines are open right now. Three lines open, 888-318-7884. Elizabeth in Canada is going to start us off. Elizabeth watching on YouTube. Thanks, Elizabeth, for your call. Go ahead with your question for Tim.
Hello. So I'm currently a high school student, and I've been a cradle Catholic. And I've been strong in my faith and know Jesus has created us to be in the world, but not of the world. And so living in such a secular place, I often find it difficult to get back up to where my faith was at after falling into temptations. Right. So as a teenager going into university soon, how can I make sure to stay rooted in my faith even when everything around me seems to be falling apart?
Yeah, fantastic. I think one of the most important things you can do is find some good Catholic friends. No matter where you're going to school, if it's a Catholic school, that's fantastic because you'll find lots of them. But if you're going to a secular college, it's going to be all the more important. You really do need friends, folks that you can, when the times get tough, you can go to, you can talk to, you can pray with. And of course, you need to frequent the sacraments and maintain a prayer life. Without an interior life, we are sitting ducks as far as the spiritual life goes. As you know, 1 Peter chapter 5, the scripture says that Satan is as a roaring lion. He's prowling about, seeking whom he may devour. And if we are not praying, if we don't have an interior life, we are easy pickings for the devil, because I think you've got a great attitude, Elizabeth. You know that hard times are coming. Jesus made us a promise in John 16, verse 33. Jesus said, in this world you shall have. He didn't say maybe. in this world you shall have tribulations. But of course, the good news, Jesus says, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And so we know as long as we hold tight to him and to him through his body, which is the church, because there's no such thing as a lone Christian out there that's going to survive or thrive. We need other members of the body of Christ. And then I'd also toss in on the intellectual front, you're going to be challenged. And so, you know, avail yourself to, we have literally tens of thousands of pages of free stuff for you at Catholic.com. If you have a question about the faith, of course, you're doing the right thing. You're calling Catholic Answers Live and asking a question. You can also go to Catholic.com, type in a question, and you will get all sorts of answers, articles, and so forth there at Catholic.com, because you're going to need the intellectual backup as well. And I'm sure you've been formed well, but we all need an ongoing, it's like the interior life. We need an ongoing interior life where we are praying every day, because there's no room for, I'm going to take a week off from my spiritual life. No, it doesn't work that way.
Right.
It's like saying, I'm going to take a week off, maybe a month off from eating. What do you think? Yeah. No, fasting, okay, a day or so. But no, I think you get my drift. What I'm saying is, just as with the spiritual life, we have to have a daily ongoing prayer relationship with our blessed Lord. We need to frequent the sacraments. We also have to have an intellectual formation that is ongoing, and it's easy. Elizabeth, it is so easy to kick that to the side because, hey, I've got all my studies to do. I got to do all my reading for class, which is true, but you got to make time. Even if it's 5 minutes a day, you have to make time. Read some scripture. Get a good book. You know, we've got tons of them here at Catholic Answers. Get a copy of the Catechism. Great thing to do is just read a little section of the Catechism of the Catholic Church every day. There's a lot of things you can do for your intellectual formation as well. A great book to take with you is Why We're Catholic by our own Trent Horn. Excellent little book. It's short, easy to read, but covers a lot of ground. And you'll find when you're at university, when you're at college, you're going to have more time than you realize. In fact, a lot of kids find out they have too much time on their hands and get themselves into trouble. So if you're really working on your interior life and your intellectual formation, things will go well. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you.
All right. God bless you, Elizabeth.
God bless you. I hope we'll hear from you again. Elizabeth, you're an inspiring voice, and it's just wonderful to hear from you. So call anytime. We got to take a break. We'll be right back with more Open Forum with Tim Staples on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live.
Do you have a question but prefer to ask it privately? Catholic Questions can help. Go to CatholicQuestions.com to ask your question online, email us, drop us a letter, or give us a call. Longtime Catholic Answers Live apologist and author Jim Blackburn or another Catholic Questions apologist will be happy to assist you. Catholic Questions proudly supports Catholic Answers Live, so visit us at CatholicQuestions.com today. That's CatholicQuestions.com.
Church Pop takes a fresh and fun look at the news shaping our world, featuring engaging, inspiring, and informative Catholic social media content. Find it on Snapchat, Instagram, and on the web at churchpop.com. And you can get Church Pop emailed directly to your inbox. Visit EWTN.com and click subscribe. EWTN, the Global Catholic Network.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kelly, your host. Tim Staples is our guest. This last weekend in Dallas, Texas, meeting with folks who are generous donors for Catholic Answers, and we're very grateful for the support of our donors, because as you know, we can't do anything. We do zero without those who support us financially. So we're very grateful for it. But one of the things that I found among this group of, because Texas is a big state and full of a lot of generous people. More people support us from the state of Texas than any other state. And a lot of folks said, as one couple said to me, we decided just once we're going to go to the Catholic Answers Conference. We'll get it out of the way. We'll have gone to it one time. And they came and they're like, this is now an annual thing. We have to come here every year. Great. And I tell you that because we got the conference coming up. I believe in God. It's coming up September 21st through 24th. We always do the last full weekend of September for the conference. Generally, the best weather on earth will be that weekend here in San Diego. So not always, but we can't promise that, but generally that's the case. And who's coming this year? Professor Scott Hahn, Sister Regina Marie Gorman, Dale Alquist is gonna be there, Dr. Francis Beckwith, and our own Tim Staples sitting right next to me here, all talking about God. And you know, the obvious problem of, well, it seems obvious to me, Tim, the obvious problem of our time is the loss of God, the Amen. Loss of connection to God.
And absolutely.
So this is this conference is all about helping people to restore that connection, helping
society. It really is. And I can remember having the conversations years ago with Carl, back when he was our president. We were talking about Carl Keating before, and having those meetings and saying, you know what, guys, when we first started Catholic Answers, our main thing was defending against fundamentalism and fundamentalists who were snatching a lot of Catholics,
right.
evangelicals and whatnot. But that's not the issue of our time. Of course, yeah. it's still an issue, will always be an issue. But this is the issue of our time. Skepticism, the growing yeah. numbers now. I saw one poll. I don't know how accurate, you know, polls are polls. But almost 50% of people now are just claiming no real belief in God,
right?
Just sort of agnostic to atheist.
Yeah,
50% in the United States. I mean, that is extraordinary. And so we are going to tackle it head on, and I can't wait.
CatholicAnswersConference.com is where you can go to find out all about it. If you use the promo code EARLY, you'll save $50 on your ticket right now. CatholicAnswersConference.com. Back to the phones we go. Rich is in Troy, New York, watching on YouTube. Rich, we're glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Tim.
Hi, Tim. I had a question about the influences that we have in our life through people.
Yes.
The Lord was known to spend time with tax collectors and sinners, and yet the Bible informs us that we ought to go with good company. How do we know when we should stick with people who are of good influence, and when we ought to be able to go with others in order to help them understand better the faith?
Right. Great question, my brother. This question really dovetails well with our last caller, the young lady who's getting ready to go to college, leave home, and so forth, because that becomes a big issue there as well. Because, you know, St. Paul says, you know, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. And there, of course, he's talking about being yoked in marriage, in intimate relationship, and that sort of thing. But the principle applies to what we're saying here. Because, yes, now, when it comes to the marriage relationship, of course, you want a good Catholic to be married to, but the church makes exceptions. She does give dispensations or permission to marry folks that are not Catholic, even though she warns, doesn't she, Si? There's a caveat there because it often brings problems. But you know what? It often brings converts, too. You know, how many times I think of Dr. Warren Carroll and his wife, Anne, who was a brilliant historian herself, but she was Catholic. He was an atheist when they married. And she brought him to the Catholic faith, and he became, you know, Dr. Warren Carroll. My goodness, the man wrote so many great works on history. But at any rate, here's the point that, yes, we have to be careful not to be unequally yoked. We can't allow ourselves to be taken away by the world. And one sure way to do that is if you spend all your time in the world. And with worldly folks, it will often have the effect of leading you away from our blessed Lord. And so I think you know, you're the example of examples is Jesus, because Jesus spent time with sinners. He was famous for that, so famous that the folks who hated him accused him of being a wine bibber and a sinner because he was hanging around with folks who were obvious sinners. Right, we have the famous story of going to the Pharisee's house, and the woman who is a sinner is wiping his feet with her tears and putting oil and wiping with her hair and so forth. And, oh, if Jesus only knew who this woman was, says the Pharisee. So Jesus was quite bold about approaching the Samaritan woman, the sinner, notorious sinners, and such. But the core of his life and his relationships was the apostles, was his, you know, of course, the Blessed Mother, his family and the apostles. You know, he went out of his way. And in fact, not only did he have an intimate relationship with the 12 that he had with no one else, but even among the 12, he had the three that were his closest. And even among them, he had number one, who was St. Peter, that he, you know, took aside and spent time with to cultivate that friendship, and also, of course, to equip them for the ministry he was calling them to. But I use that as an example. It's really all about priorities. I love the way St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, he says, I wrote to you, Corinthians, before how you should not associate with immoral men. Not meeting all the immoral of this world, or the greedy or robbers or idolaters, since then you would have to go out of this world, right? So in other words, Paul is saying, yeah, don't associate, but nevertheless, of course you have to associate in order to evangelize and so forth. And so the key is going to be your priorities and always being honest with yourself, and always asking yourself the question, why am I in this relationship right now? Why am I hanging around with this dude, right? Because if you're hanging out and you're being tempted to do worldly things with worldly people, you need to exit that relationship immediately and get yourself fortified with a company of good Catholic friends. Then you can hang out when need be in order to evangelize. So the key is going to be honesty and prioritizing relationships. And if you can do that and you're honest with yourself, and you know, I think we all know that if we're spiritually in tune, we're frequenting the sacraments, we're going to confession, we're receiving the Eucharist, we're having healthy relationships, I think we pretty much know it. When you start getting a little bit wayward and allowing someone or some relationship to get you off kilter, there's usually some self-deception involved. It's like, well, you know, this isn't so bad. Yeah, I'm hanging out a little bit here. Yeah, I got drunk that one time at that one, well, the two times, or was it three times? See, then you know, you're not prioritizing your relationships well. The key is always Matthew chapter 6, verse 3, Matthew 6, 33, easy for me to say. Matthew 6, 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's got to be first. And then everything else is going to take care of itself. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Thank you very, very much.
All right, brother. God bless you.
Thank you, Rich. Thank you very much for the call. It's open forum. Tim Staples is our guest. There's one line open, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Going now to, where am I going now? Let's go to Jonathan in Ohio, listening on EWTN.com. Jonathan, thanks so much for the call. Go ahead with your question for Tim.
Hi. My question for Tim is, has Catholic Answers, there's a lot of Catholics that are honestly, otherwise devout Catholics, are honestly confused by the whole LGBTQ stuff.
Yeah.
Have you thought about maybe interviewing Matt Walsh about that, just so that people see where this whole movement logically leads?
Right. Well, I tell you, that's a good question for Cy Kellett. He's the radio guy.
I think I see Edgar's on the phone, but I think we tried to interview Matt Walsh on this, but I don't know if we were successful in wrangling him.
Yeah. He's a great guy. I tell you, I absolutely loved his documentary, What is a Woman? And I think he approached it really well, you know, and just asking questions, you know. He kind of reminds me of our own Trent Horn a bit, you know, when he, now he can get a little bit, you know, he can get a little snarky too at times. But I think in particular in that documentary, he was really, I think he approached it in a humble way and was simply asking the question, what is a woman? You know, and it's amazing how, and I know this wasn't your question, but yeah, we have looked into having Matt on, what was that on this show or was it on Focus? It might have been,
I know we wanted to get him for Focus. Yeah. And now I'm remembering the meeting where we said, yes, this would be wonderful to have him.
Yeah.
I don't know what, I don't want to blame it on Matt Walsh that we didn't have him. It could be that we didn't follow up on it. That's I just don't remember, Jonathan. Yeah.
But the bottom line is I think what we need is engagement on these issues. And if you do it in such a way, you use that Socratic approach because, see, here's the problem I have. I have is the matter is just so crazy. It's so out in left field, I can easily sort of, you know, fall prey to the, what are you, an idiot? What is wrong with you? You know, and destroy the whole conversation. Because as you said, people are really confused. The culture has gone so crazy that people really don't know anymore what is a woman. An adult female of the species human being whose body is ordered toward the conception and nurturing of children. That's what a woman is, Supreme Court Justice, right? Ketanji Brown Jackson. I mean, oh my gosh. And in that documentary, of course, when Matt Walsh asks a college professor, you know, what is a woman? And he just sits there. He's like, and then, well, what do you say a woman is? And Matt responds, well, I was coming to you because you're a professor and all, and you teach this stuff. You know, it just approaching it in that way. It wasn't, he wasn't being untoward. He wasn't being, you know, a jerk about it. He simply was asking the question. And we do that, of course. I'm sorry, I went way beyond your question. But yes, we have. And maybe we will again try to get Matt Walsh on one of our broadcasts. But I do think the issue is one that must be tackled. And we are tackling it at Catholic Answers.
I don't like to say this, but it's possible that Matt Walsh is bigger time than we are.
Yeah, oh, sure.
we might not be. Absolutely. Think I saw that 164 million people have watched his movie.
Yes.
So I haven't done that yet. Jonathan, that all makes sense to you? Is that satisfying?
Yep, that's very satisfying.
All right.
Right, brother.
God bless you. Thank you. Marguerite in Pennsylvania, listening on the Catholic Answers Live app. Marguerite, thanks for downloading the app onto your phone. Go ahead with your question for Tim.
Hi.
Hi.
Yes.
I have a question in regard to people infallibility. I heard one time, and maybe it was even Tim that I heard say it, that at one time there was a pope who, maybe one of the Renaissance popes, I don't know, who was planning to change some doctrine of the faith.
Oh, yeah.
But right before he was about to do it, he died.
Yes.
Is that true? And if it is, who was it? When was it?
Yes. Actually, there's a few cases. The one I was referring to, and I do remember that, was from Patrick Madrid's book called Pope Fiction. And I wish I could remember his name, but it was the Pope who had written, he had translated a new edition of the Vulgate, and on his own. And it was an absolute, let's just say he was, he had a very high opinion of himself. I'm trying to remember which Pope that was. It'll come to me. But it's in Patrick Madrid's book, Pope Fiction. It's in one of the chapters there. And by the way, that's a great book. I remember when I got that book years ago, I read it in like 2 days. And I'm not a real fast reader, you know, but it was a good book. It was a page turner,
yeah, right.
I read it in like two days, but that chapter was fascinating because this Pope, he was very arrogant. Okay, he had a high opinion of himself. I was trying to be euphemistic, but yeah, he was very prideful. And evidently, his translation was just filled with terrible errors. But he had written a bull that when published would have used language that was really, and nobody really knows what was what that meant, other than we know from those who were working with the Pope to say, no, don't do this. You don't want to publish this papal bull. This is not good. But nobody can stop him because he's the Pope, right? And he is free to do literally what he pleases, and nobody can stop him. Well, as the story goes, Jesus stopped him. Tell you what, we're going to take a break, but I'm going to find that Pope over the break. And then after the break, I'll tell you his name. But again, the book is outstanding, Pope Fiction by Patrick Madrid.
Thanks, Marguerite. I got to take a break. Right back with more Open Forum with Tim Staples on Catholic Answers Live.
We will stay.
Want to know more about the origins of the Catholic Church? Joe Heschmeyer explores the beginnings of Christianity in The Early Church Was the Catholic Church. Joe digs deep into the words and actions of those who lived right after the apostles to refute anti-Catholic claims of how the faith was lived back then. Order your copy of The Early Church Was the Catholic Church today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Are you ready to defend your faith in a world of unbelief? Join us at the 9th Annual Catholic Answers Apologetics Conference. This year's theme, I Believe in God, and it'll help you provide clear and charitable answers to atheism, agnosticism, and plain old indifference. Don't miss what promises to be the event of the season. Join us in San Diego from September 21st through 24th as we welcome our special guest, Dr. Scott Hahn, and an all-star lineup of great Catholic speakers. Spend quality time with your favorite Catholic Answers apologists and enjoy 4 days of fun, fellowship, and adoration of the Almighty. Seats are still available, but they're going fast. Visit CatholicAnswersConference.com or call 888-291-8000 to register. Enter promo code EARLY and save $50. That's CatholicAnswersConference.com.
If you're not a Bible scholar, the full message of how the Sunday Mass readings fit together can be tough to comprehend. Apologist Carlo Broussard is here to help. Join Carlo every Friday for the Sunday Catholic Word Podcast. In each episode, he unpacks the scripture readings for that Sunday and brings them all together so you can better understand and defend the faith. Visit SundayCatholicWord.com to subscribe. That's SundayCatholicWord.com.
Matt Swaim here. Tomorrow on the Sunrise Morning Show, we'll talk to Father Augustine Weta about what the Desert Fathers had to say about pigs and the spiritual life. Hope you can join us. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Tim Staples, our guest this hour, and every line full.
All right.
And is still looking.
I'm still looking for that. I'm going to have to go get my copy of Pope Fiction.
Oh, well, okay. So at the top of the hour, we can do that. All right. That's right. Unless anybody out there in the booth's got a copy of Pope Fiction, bring it in.
Bring it in.
And we'll take a look. All right. We'll go to Michael in Buffalo, New York, then, watching on YouTube. Michael, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your question, please, for Tim Staples.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'd like to know how to properly explain faith versus works to our Protestant brothers and sisters.
Right.
And is having faith an actual work?
Right. That's outstanding question. And I think the key is, you have to define your terms. Because from a Catholic and I think from a biblical perspective, we can talk about works that are performed before you enter into Christ, or if you're, in a state of mortal sin when you're apart from Christ, that can profit you nothing. And then the works that are performed in a state of grace in Jesus, and that's what merits for us. And the same can be said for faith. In fact, the The Council of Trent, Session 6 on Justification, I believe it's Canon 4, as I recall, gives an excellent, I mean, we're talking a one-sentence sort of thing that really nails that point, that everything that comes before justification that occurs in baptism, through faith and baptism, whether faith of the adult convert or the faith of the parents when it comes to the child being baptized, everything that goes before it cannot merit anything from God. Now, once you enter into Jesus, I will tell you, that's what revolutionized my life 35 years ago, 35 plus years ago, when I encountered the first Catholic fellow, the famous Sergeant Matt Dula, who really knew his faith, because he explained to me, Tim, when Catholics talk about works justifying, we're not talking about works done by our own power or by our own strength. We're not talking about the works that St. Paul is talking about when he says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Notice, Paul there's talking about, for by grace you have already been saved. It's a perfect passive there, which means a past event with a present ongoing reality here. So, for by grace you have already been saved. Now, if you back up to the first seven verses leading up to it, you really get a sense of things, what Paul's talking about. He says, you Ephesians, you who were dead, I'm backing up to verse 1 and 2 here, you who were dead in your trespasses and sins, look at this, in verse 3, you who were by nature children of wrath, and then verses 4 and 5, for by grace you have been saved, and he repeats again in verse 8, for by grace you have been saved, right? So before you enter into Christ, you can do absolutely nothing. And then what you want to do is, you know, just pile on the verses of Scripture. That's what I do, is show them, look, John 15, 5, Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. That's what Paul's talking about here. Jesus saying, apart from me, you can do absolutely nothing. So whether it's works or faith, because remember in James chapter 2, verse 19, you know, St. James talks about, you say you have faith, the devil believes, or the demons believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? So the devil has faith. You know, he believes that God is one. For example, James says, right? But he doesn't have a justifying faith. That faith cannot justify him. So as a matter of, you know, when a person is approaching Jesus as an unbeliever, you first have to believe, as Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, you must believe in order to come to God. But that faith that you have, even in the early stages of your conversion, can't justify you. It's just, it's necessary to be there in order for you to enter into God. But that's what the Council of Trent is talking about when it says, whether it's works, whether it's faith, whatever we're talking about before justification cannot merit anything from God. But here is the key. Once you, oh man, I remember, brother, my Greek professor used to say this in class. He said it more than once. He said, man, the one thing that is so clear in sacred scripture is before Jesus, you can do absolutely nothing. But after you enter into Jesus, it is a whole new world. According to sacred scripture, again, John 15, 5, apart from me, you can do nothing. But what does John 14, verse 12 say? Jesus says concerning those who would be his faithful disciples, he said, you will do greater things than I have done. So do you see a difference there, Cy Kellett?
Yeah.
Before you enter into Jesus, you can do nothing. After, you can do greater things than Jesus did. That's what Jesus says in John 14, 12. And that includes meriting eternal life. The same with St. Paul, right? In Ephesians 2, as I mentioned, You were dead in your trespasses and you were by nature children of wrath. We see in the first three verses of Ephesians 2. But then once we get to 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What does verse 10 say? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So once you enter into Christ, then you can do the works that please God and in fact can merit eternal life. And St. Paul makes this as plain as day and in many places. But my favorites are Romans chapter 2, verse 6, because of course, St. Paul famously in Romans 3:28 will say, a man is justified by faith apart from the works of law. Martin Luther loved that text. And we agree. You cannot be justified by the works of law, right? Because if you attempt to go back to the works of law, St. Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 4, you are fallen from grace because you're effectively rejecting what Jesus did on the cross and say, no, I'm going to go back to the Old Testament to be saved. No, you can't get there, says St. Paul, right? You are fallen from grace. You who seek to be justified by the works of law, you forfeit Jesus Christ. That's Galatians 5, verses 1 through 6. But here's the key. Once you enter into Christ, and again, I go back to Romans chapter 2, verse 6, God will reward each man according to his works. Now, he's talking about Christians here. Why? Because he just said in verse 4, know you not that it's the goodness of God that leads you to repentance? So he's talking about Christians who have already been led to repentance. He then says in verse 6, God will reward each man according to his works. To him who continues in good works, his reward shall be glory, incorruption, and eternal life. Eternal life, St. Paul says, is a reward for good works, but not the works done before Jesus, not the works done apart from Jesus. No, because apart from him, you can do nothing. It's the works done, as Paul will say later in Romans chapter 11, verse 36. And we say it, the priest says it in the Eucharistic prayer, in him, with him, and through him. Those are the works done in him, with him, and through him that justify us. And that's why in that ongoing process of justification, which will merit or the final reward of eternal life. So that's Romans chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. And then you also want to look at Galatians 6, verses 7 through 9, because once again, Paul makes it as plain as day. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. If a man continues to sow to the flesh, he shall from the flesh reap death. But if he continues to sow to the Spirit, he shall from or of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And look at verse 9. Let us not then grow weary in well-doing. Side, that's good works.
Yeah.
Don't grow weary in doing good works or in well-doing, for we know we will reap the reward. What reward? He just said, the reward of eternal life. We will reap the reward if we faint not. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about good works done in Christ by the power of Christ as the first principle of all merit, which is the charity of Christ that dwells in our heart. That is what empowers us to merit the reward of eternal life. I think if you can explain it in that way, I know for me, I just always believed that Catholics had a works justification that was a sort of Pelagian understanding of you got to work your way to heaven. That if that were true, that would nullify what Jesus did on the cross. If we can get to heaven by doing good works on our own power, then why did Jesus die on the cross? That would be a valid critique, but that's not what we're saying. We're saying it's in him, with him, and through him that we do good works that then can merit eternal life. Does that help, brother?
Oh, hang on. I put you on hold. Does that help you, Michael?
that answer. Thank you so much. And I also wanted to thank you for your book, Behold Your Mother. It totally changed my perspective on Our Lady, and I think it's magnificent.
Oh, praise Wonderful. God, brother. Thank you for sharing that.
Thanks, Michael. We got to take a quick break. Be right back with more Open Forum with Tim Staples on Catholic Answers Live.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
One of the biggest mistakes a Christian can make is to try to do good without God's help. Saint Therese said, when we trust only ourselves and not God, our soul becomes incapable of virtue. Her remedy? Works of charity. And the greatest work of charity is to share the gospel. At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we encourage you to share the gospel with someone who doesn't know Jesus. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. StreetEvangelization.com.
One of the reasons we should go to Mass is because it is the food of the saints that we receive. And for the saints, they understood rightly that the time after Holy Communion, that those moments are the most precious moments of our lives.
The Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, live from the EWTN Chapel, every morning, 8 Eastern, on EWTN Radio and Television.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Having a good time. Lots of folks on the lines. It's open forum, so all kinds of interesting questions. And we've been up to Canada. We've been here and there. Now we're going to Syracuse, New York. Frida is listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Frida, thank you very much for your call. Go ahead with your question for Tim.
This is going to be a testimony. And hopefully we'll help people who answer a couple of questions, why be Catholic and not other of religion. And the reason central for me is the confession, communion, and the rosary. I'll explain that in two dreams that I have.
Frida, I don't know that we have time for your full testimony. I'm very grateful for it. But why don't
very short.
Yeah, it's actually, we thought you might have a question for Tim, because it's a question show, but I want to say, go ahead and give your testimony, but we're just not set up for that, Frida. Is there something that you'd like to ask Tim?
No, I actually want to share, because the girl who's going to college, she will seem to need some help. I think this will help her. I actually am a doctor. So I know what she will go through. And with this, she will have some guidance. That's why I wanted to do it.
So you want to give advice to our friend Elizabeth, who started the show off from Canada?
Yeah. Yes. No. The girl that was going to, she was going to college.
Yes.
Yeah. She was in Canada.
She was up in Canada.
She lives in Canada.
So how about a quick word of advice for her? What would you say?
Well, advice would be to do the three things. The rosary, the communion, and confession. But there's am I on the air or no?
Oh, yes. Yeah. You're on the air, and I don't think you could give better advice than that. That's as good as it gets.
Okay. One of my experience, I wanted to feel God through the communion. So I figure out I'm going to confess. I'm probably a clean. I went and then I went for a communion, and I sat in the pew. And I said, God, I don't feel you. I don't feel you. When I said, I don't, a whisk of air came over me. Now it's February, there's no air. And a current came from my head to my toe. I could feel the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
My second experience was, I had a dream. I wanted to go to church, but I was tired. And I said, okay, I'll do a rosary. And that will even out. Then I said, I'll do two. So I turned over for asleep, and I saw Mary, which I've seen before. Her face was beaming. She was smiling. She extended her hands, and in her hand, she has the Eucharist. And a beam of light came from the floor to the ceiling at 12 o'clock. pass through the Eucharist, and in the Eucharist started to developing arteries, veins, skin, meat from 3 to 9. And I woke up and I said, I get it, Mary. The rosary will take me to Jesus. I'll be with him.
Yes, in the Mass.
It's beautiful. Yeah, amen. Amen. Listen, that is wonderful, wonderful advice. Thank you so much for calling, and God bless you. You know what, Cy?
Yeah.
The one thing that I would share is that for a young person like the young lady from Canada who called, it is a good thing to ask God for help in any way that's on your heart to ask. You know, if you, yes. Lord, oh, I need to feel right? you. Yeah. I need to feel your presence. You call out to God and you ask him. And often he will give you feelings. That actually happened to me in my conversion story. If you guys have ever heard it, when I was struggling with Catholicism, and I believe the Blessed Mother really touched my heart. But the one thing I would say as well is be careful though, because often God doesn't give the feelings, right? And so we have to be careful in that, because if you ask God for a sign or for miracles or feelings, you may get it.
Yes.
And, you know, but really that's kind of rare. The normal way of the faith is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. You know, St. Paul says, walk by faith, not by sight. Right? Our tendency is to want signs. I think also of Matthew 12:39, where Jesus says, an evil and wicked generation seeks after signs, but there will only be one sign given, and that's the sign of Jonah, right? For as Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. Now, he's not saying, oh, you're wicked and evil for asking for a sign, but Jesus is hammering this idea that you can't seek after signs and after feelings, because those things will let you down. Ultimately, all of that, all of the signs and miracles ultimately exist to point you to the one salvific sign, and that is the crucifix. I'm looking at the crucifix in our studio right now, and that's our salvation. That's our hope, is to join our sufferings in whatever situation we find ourselves in. If you're struggling, you need feelings and they're not there, you look to the crucifix, because I will guarantee you, Jesus wasn't feeling all warm and fuzzy while he was dying on the cross. It was not about feelings. It was about, in Jesus' case, his knowledge of God the Father and his purpose that held him to that cross. And in the same way, in our lives, it's got to be the faith. We know that Jesus Christ is real. He really did live. He really did die. He is resurrected from the dead. He established the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. He's given us the gift of the sacraments, the rosary, as our sister mentioned, and all the other great gifts that we have, and there are an abundance of them. And we hold tight to that faith. But I love the way that our sister there encouraged all of us to cry out to God. You know, Pope Francis said that, you know, in the midst of the crazy COVID madness that was going on and churches shut down, I remember Pope Francis saying, cry out to God from wherever you are. And if you can't get to the sacraments, you can't. Guess what? Jesus is there, and Jesus can get to you, and you can get to Jesus. So that's a beautiful word of advice. I just wanted to add that caveat, we really want to focus on the faith as well.
Thank you, Frida. God bless you. Thank you so much for that. Connor is in New Jersey, listening to EWTN on channel 130, Sirius XM satellite radio. Connor, glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Tim.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. So I was curious, is the Vulgate St. Jerome's translation of the Bible, was that inspired similarly to how the Gospels are originally written?
Right. No. The Vulgate is simply a translation. It's an excellent translation, and it's been modified and even corrected at times over the years. But it kind of has the church's version of an imprimatur on it. you know, which is good, but it doesn't mean it's inspired. Absolutely not. The Catholic Church teaches it is only the original documents of sacred scripture in the original Hebrew of the Old Testament and some parts in perhaps Aramaic and Greek, some of the later books of the Old Testament. And of course, in the New Testament, Greek. That's what's inspired.
Okay, Connor.
Okay.
Yeah, all right, brother. God bless you.
Thank you very, very much. Let's go to Robert in British Columbia, Canada. Glad you're here, Robert. Thanks for waiting. Go ahead with your question for Tim.
Love you guys. Thank you. My question is more of a heart-to-heart discussion from a father's point of view. Do you have children as well?
I've got 7 of them. Yes, I do.
Okay. So I can learn from you in this with my question here.
Okay.
Okay, I have a 6-year-old, and obviously hasn't reached the age of reason yet. And I was asked this question: what does heaven look like?
Yes.
And I said, "Oh, I'll get back to you about that because I don't want to give the wrong answer."
Yes, that's so great, Robert.
What would you recommend as someone who's already down this path?
Okay.
How I would answer my 6-year-old's question,
sorry, Robert.
Okay. Well, Robert, it's a great question. And yes, my kids have asked it, various and sundry of them. And I'll tell you what I do. I use 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, number 1, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor is it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love them. And it's okay to say that to a kid, to say, look, heaven is so good. It's so awesome. It's really beyond anything you can imagine. And then I'll go to the book of Revelation, where St. John the Revelator is describing heaven. And what does he say? He says, the streets are paved with gold. There's pearly gates, right? And you have these 12 massive gates, each with the names of the apostles on them, right? And all of this glory. Now, is that really what heaven looks like? No, it's not. But what it is the inspired author is being given by God some of the most beautiful images available in the first century, right? Gold and pearls and so forth, to try to describe the indescribable, right? And so once I get that point across, that we're talking about something that is so beyond anything we can fathom, that's when I move toward, but we do know some things about heaven that is going to make it so great. And that is, we'll see God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, how in the world can we see God? Because he's invisible, right? Well, we see him with our intellectual comprehension, right? Now, a kid is going, huh? What? Say, we will so comprehend God. It's kind of like when you're working on that math problem with your son and finally he gets it, or he's learning how to read and oh, Daddy, I see. Right? I understand. Well, we're going to understand with our minds God to such a degree it would blow our minds this side of the veil, right? So you can kind of get that across, that we're going to see God, we're going to see Jesus. That's one of the things, you know, St. John in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, he says, brethren, it doth not yet appear what we he's kind of answering this question in 1 John 3 side, because he says, brethren, it doth not yet appear what we shall be in heaven, but we know this, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. So we will see Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we will see the incarnate Lord as he is, and we will be like him. And that's where you get to the fun stuff. And you say, being like him means we will be empowered to do things that he can do, like walk through walls, right? Travel at the speed of thought. And then it gets fun. But at any rate, we got to take a break.
We do. Robert, thank you so much. Hey, if you're on the line, hang on the line. We're going to get right back to you in a couple minutes. We'll take a quick break. If you haven't called yet, there'll be at least one line open. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. Tim Staples is our guest. It's open forum. And that means open to anyone, whether you are Christian or not, whether you're a believer of any kind or not, and also open to anything having to do with the Catholic faith. 888-318-7884.